Join me in 1 Samuel chapter 18, please. And while you're headed there, I'd like to offer a special welcome to our new neighbors, Mike and Robin Clanton, in the gray house here behind us. It's good to have y'all with us. And Chloe. Chloe helped me with the bottles up here this morning. It's good to see all of you. Thank you for being here. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Here, as I read the inerrant, inspired word of our living God. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines and with songs of joy and with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated. Saul has struck down his thousands and David his ten thousands. And Saul was very angry. And this saying displeased him. He said, they have ascribed to David ten thousands and to me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was there playing the lyre, and he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David evaded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of thousands. And he went out and came in before the people. And David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, here is my elder daughter, Merab. I will give her to you for a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, let not my hand be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. And David said to Saul, who am I and who are my relatives, my father's clan in Israel, that I should be the son-in-law to the king? But at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, she was given to Adriel, the Maholathite, for a wife. Now Saul's daughter Michal loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Saul thought, let me give her to him, that she may be a snare for him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore Saul said to David a second time, you shall now be my son-in-law. And Saul commanded his servants, speak to David in private and say, behold, the king has delight in you, and all his servants have loved you. Now then become the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spoke those words in the ears of David. And David said, does it seem to you a little thing to become the king's son-in-law, since I am a poor man and have no reputation? And the servants of Saul told him, thus and so did David speak. Then Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desires no bride price except 100 foreskins of the Philistines, that he may be avenged of the king's enemies. Now Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servant told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. Before the time had expired, David arose and went along with his men and killed 200 of the Philistines. And David brought their foreskins, which were given in full number to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him his daughter Michal for a wife. But when Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, Saul was even more afraid of David. So Saul was David's enemy continually. Then the commanders of the Philistines came out to battle, and as often as they came out, David had more success than all the servants of Saul, though so that his name was highly esteemed. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. The story here in chapter 18 has basically two parts. First of all, we see this relationship between Jonathan and David. Please note the sincerity and the depth of love between these two men, Jonathan and David. These two men would be knit together in true faithfulness and friendship. Jonathan, Saul's son, would serve David. Here we note that Jonathan loved David and cared for him so much, and to give him tribute and as a symbol of his love for him, gave him his robe and his battle armament. This is a sign of commitment. This is a kind of relationship God knits together when two are dedicated first to God in obedience, then to each other in truthfulness and goodness. This is the kind of relationships we, as Christians, should strive to have within our church fellowship. I know some of you ladies who have gone through mentoring have a relationship with another lady that's very similar to this. Many of you men have known each other for quite a bit of time and have relationships similar to this. It is to be commended. It is to be commended. Jonathan would serve David for the remainder of his life. But now we turn to the more problematic portion of this passage and to Saul's jealousy. Look with me again at verse 6. As they were coming home when David returned from striking down the Philistines, the women came out of the cities of Israel singing, "Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s, and Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him." Verse 9, "And Saul eyed David from that day on." Proverbs 27:21 tells us that fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but a person is tested by being praised. Just as the heat of the fire tests the purity of gold and silver, the praise of other people many times will test the character of a person. How we respond to the praise of the people gives indication to our character. Can you handle the praise? Can you handle the applause of the people? I've told you the story many times of my friend Eddie Spencer and his church in Tampa. They began to praise Eddie for his work in the church, and he did great there. So much so that they commended the church in his name. It said, "It's Eddie's church." The people were praising Eddie, and he handled it properly. He resigned the next Sunday morning because it's not his church. How do we respond with the praise of the people? Warren Wiersbe remarks, "If praise humbles us, then God can use us. But if praise puffs us up, we're not ready for the promotion." Here Saul did not handle the praise well at all. Jealousy became Saul's primary feeling toward David. Here the ladies are singing that Saul struck down 1,000, but David his 10,000. Saul could not handle the praise. His jealousy raged against David, so much so that he tried to kill him. Please note the title of the sermon, "Envy and Anger Will Destroy." Saul's jealousy turned to anger. Once again from Proverbs, "Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy?" Anger and jealousy corrupts our motives. Anger and jealousy corrupts our thoughts. Anger and jealousy corrupts our actions. When given into its lies, anger can drive us to do what we would not do otherwise. Here we see Saul continuing his downward spiral as the Lord has left him, has rejected him, and now Saul is envious and even angry toward David, who has taken his place. In his anger and envy, Saul becomes very vindictive. Look with me at verse 10. "The next day a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre, and as he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, 'I will pin David to the wall.'" Compare the two men here. David with his harp in his hand aiming to serve Saul, yet Saul with a javelin in his hand aiming to slay him. Anger, rage, envy caused him to do what he would not otherwise. Secondly, Saul becomes very manipulative. He arranged for David to marry his daughter, but in reality he was forming a plan hoping to get him killed. Saul thought David would be killed fighting the Philistines and would be free of the murder of his own hands. Again, anger, envy, jealousy. Thirdly, Saul used others to serve his jealousy. Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. But again, Saul in his jealousy and in his angers became manipulative. He said, I will give him my daughter so that she might snare him, be his inside track to David's ruin. But that was not the case because Michal truly loved David. Once again, Saul tries to kill David. He sends him out to do his fighting and says, bring me 100 foreskins of the Philistines. But God protected David. And not only did he bring him the 100 foreskins, he brought him 100 more, heaping burning coals upon Saul's head. Folks, envy and anger will destroy. Are you one prone to anger? Are you one prone to envy, jealousy? Unresolved anger is one of the contributing factors of the destruction of marriages, of families, of communities. Anger is centered in a selfish pride. Here Saul, in his selfishness, grew into anger. Anger is centered in a selfish pride. My expectations are not met. My feelings are not cared for. My beliefs are not centered here. My plans are not considered. Me. Anger is destructive. It's based in self-centeredness. Envy can lead to anger. Saul's envy here of David's position now being acknowledged as king. Envy and anger will destroy a person. As I was searching through the scriptures this week and developing this topic, this theme, it was surprising how much the Bible has to say about anger and envy. Quite a bit. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. James 3:14, James being the very practical man, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Paul writing to the church in Galatians, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you find it revealing and telling that anger and jealousy are categorized with sexual immorality, idolatry, sorcery? Speaks to how severe and destructive anger, envy, jealousy. We see it here in Saul. Envy and anger are contradictions to the Christian life. Envy and anger are not the ways of our Lord. Jesus came to preach peace, humility, and giving up all for the good of others. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you, let not your hearts be troubled. See, this is the message of Jesus Christ. If we are ones who are prone to anger, if we are ones who are prone to envy, then the things of Christ aren't with us. And Paul says, such as that will not enter the kingdom of God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. I love our Lord's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Practical. Timely. Chapter 5, verse 21. This is the middle portion of the Sermon on the Mount. A sermon Jesus gave. They say it timed out about 18 minutes. He's much better at it than I am. Chapter 5, verse 21. If you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to the judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and judge you and to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Anger. Anger correlates with murder. Here the Lord Jesus is telling us, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Again, speaks to the severity of an angry soul on the level of murder. Go with me to verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other side also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Retaliation. Rooted in anger. Retaliation rooted in envy. We've heard this passage. If anyone slaps you, turn to him the other cheek. If anyone is angry with you, do not return the anger. Retaliation is not the way of a Christian. Verse 43, if you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus teaches exactly the opposite of what we see in Saul. Which of these lifestyles does one see in you? Angry? Envious? Jealousy? It would be Saul's demise. His literal hatred for David. Because David had found the favor of God, and because of Saul's disobedience, it had turned against him. I pray that envy and anger does not find root in our lives, but peace and humility would be the way that we would show our love and care for others.